Let's say the Serenity Prayer to get started. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay. My name is Karen, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And my body must have needed a rest, hopefully. I'm really grateful that you came today because I hope that this is going to be, I'm going to just talk a little bit and then I'm going to have you do a writing exercise. And I didn't want to tell you too much about that because some people when they hear writing think, oops, I'm not going there. the one tool that I didn't talk about this earlier today was writing, and I want to tell you a little bit about my story about writing. I mentioned last night that when I started really struggling with my abstinence early in the 1970s, I had a sponsor, and if you were here in the story here last night, you remember there was a lady who swore a lot at that first organizational meeting, and I was offended. Well, she was my sponsor, and she said, at this point, and she said, "You're gonna write," and I didn't want to write. I didn't know what I would write. I never liked writing in school because I didn't think I was as good as other people. You know, it's just that whole thing. So she said, "You're just going to start writing, and you're gonna write about your feelings. That'll help. Just start writing. I'm feeling this and feeling this," and I was surprised that I could actually do that. And so I continued to do that off and on. When I was upset about something, I would write to try to figure out what was going on. And then I had somebody share with me that if I put make a little column to the left side and write my feelings, and then when I was done, go back and circle all the feeling words. And because when I'm writing, it's not like I'm thinking so much. I'm really trying to get just this is what I feel, this is what I feel. And that really helped me get in touch with my feelings. Because first I was surprised. Not only did you see what the feeling words were, but you could start seeing patterns. So after you got them circled, you just put them in that little column and you would see how many times you're saying, "I'm afraid, I'm just really angry, I can't stand that, you know, that kind of thing. And not only did you see how many times, but you started to see when you were doing it, and also patterns, you know, the patterns of doing that. So there was a lot of learning from that, and I did that for a long time. And then I went to writing workshops, and I remember one time there was a woman who actually taught writing, and it was wonderful. She did a great job. And she said to us, you know, when you're journaling, you're not writing a diary. So you don't have to write every day. You can just write when you want to write. And she said, you don't need to get a special, beautiful journal to write in. She recommended just a notebook because she said, you want to be able to do whatever you need to in that journal. And I don't know about you, but when I like those journals that you buy, I look at, they're beautiful. But then I don't want to write messy in that beautiful journal. And when I write, I can often, when I'm writing about my feelings, it can get my, pretty soon the feelings are just sort of coming out my arm onto the paper. And sometimes you can't read them afterwards, but it's the process that would help me. And I remember that in my hard times, you know, I call it my dark valley, there were lots of nights I would wake up and not be able to sleep. And I would get up and start writing, and the things would just start, it would flow out of me. And then I could go back to bed and go to sleep. It's like taking a sleeping pill. And through all those months and all those several years, I didn't ever have to take any medication because I was I was able to use journaling in night or day, but mostly it was in the night. My head does things in the night. And so I got a lot of awarenesses that way. And sometimes I would get up and I would lay in bed and think, oh, if I just pray, I could stay in bed. You know, I could just lay here. I can pray. I can turn it over. I can tell God. But it usually didn't work. But if I would get up out of bed and do my writing, sometimes I would still be a little stressed. And so I often would do I would write at the top the three parts of the Serenity Prayer, things I can do something about right now, things I could do something about in the morning, and things that I can't do anything about. And that was really helpful. It was really helpful because right in the middle of the night, there's really not much I could do. No, it was, what can I do about, what's something I could do about right now? What's something I can't, you know, what are things I can't do? And what are things that I could do tomorrow? And ended up, mostly the things I could do right now were turn it over because it's 2 o'clock in the morning and there wasn't a lot to do about it. And then the things that really there was nothing anybody could do. You know, I couldn't do anything about that. And those were all really helpful things for me. And then another workshop that I went to, the person said she liked to do left-hand, right-hand writing. Have you heard of that? Probably haven't. And she would say that's how she wrote to her higher power. And she would write in her non-dominant hand when she wrote, it would be her speaking, and then she would change to her dominant hand and write when higher power was talking to her. And I thought, woo, 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 that's really crazy. But you know, I tried it, and what happened, and that day, I was surprised the things that I wrote. And I don't know what that is. I'm not sure that God just writes to me that way, but I do believe maybe it's even my grown-up self inside of me. I don't know. Something nurturing comes out. I can't tell you. And when I do that over and over and over, and I still do that all the time. In fact, almost all my writing from the beginning started out, Dear God. It's sort of like I could just write my letter to God. And so when I do this, that voice is always nurturing. It's never, oh, you stupid, you know, nothing like that. It's like, it's nurturing. And it might tell me straight out what's going on, you know, what being me responsible for myself, but it isn't, it's loving and nurturing and encouraging. And that's really a very important part of the gifts that come from writing for me. So I have had journals for years and years, and I think one of the things that people are concerned about when they do journal is, boy, if I write those feelings, those things that I'm really thinking down, what if somebody got a hold of it someday? And I think it's real, I think that's a real fear. And so I think it's important for us to figure out what a safe place we are in. My husband, I have journaled and journaled and journaled, and he's never paid any attention to them. I know he hasn't. But there have been times when I felt like, in fact, my ex-husband, after we were separated, somehow got a hold of, I think he did something for my car, and there was a notebook in my car. He was going to do something to my car, with my car, and he read it. He read some things, and he just really had a fit about what was going on in my head. And you know, the thing is that, and that felt icky, so it is something that you have to be careful about. And even if I didn't mean anything bad towards the person I'm, you know, if I'm writing about somebody in my family and I'm feeling angry feelings, that doesn't mean that I will feel that tomorrow. Just right now. So I don't really want it to be something other people see. So I think we all do need to take precautions. And some people get rid of it afterwards. I have so many notebooks now, I've, you know, just destroyed a lot of them. One thing about it, as I'm getting older, My handwriting isn't very clear, so it's going to be harder and harder for people to understand it. No, I'm choosing. But anyway, so those are things that you find out. And I know some people who have a place that they can lock it up, or some people who destroy it. Or my sister said to me, and she's not in program, but she does do journaling, and she said, I want you to promise me I'm going to have my journals in a special place, and when I go, I want you to take them, will you? I said, yeah. Because she said, I don't know my kids would understand what I'm writing all the time. It's not that it's your negative. It's just if you're being really honest, if you're trying to be really honest with what's going on, that doesn't mean tomorrow it will be the same. It just means I need to work these things out, and it's really, it's so personal for me, and it's really healing, and sometimes it's just fun. So what I'm going to do today is, I'm not going to talk anymore, but I'm going to give you, I'd like you to, if you're willing, to take a piece of paper, and I think that Mary Louise has some paper if you don't have any lined paper, or any paper to write on. She has some lined paper. And this is what, I'm just going to make an assignment. I want you to write a Dear John letter to food. And I want to say, I want you to write a Dear John letter to food. And I want to say this because at the last time I used it, there was a young person said, Karen, what's a Dear John letter? She came up in my ear, she said, What's a Dear John letter? and I think, I don't know when it started, but maybe during the Second World War, when people would be overseas, they would get a letter from the person they loved and saying, Dear John, I'm divorcing you, or I have a new boyfriend, or whatever. So it's that kind of thing, saying goodbye to somebody that was really the love of your life. You really, really loved, you thought you loved this person, and now it was all over. And so I'm going to give you at least a half an hour to do that writing, and then we'll talk about how that felt. Or some people like to read it, actually, once they write it, but of course you don't have to do that. So I'm just going to let you enjoy this process. These are the scary things at retreats and conventions, is that they make you do these silly things that you have to get involved in. But I know it's really impactful. So just keep it quiet and you go ahead and do what you want to do.